even after I caught it and everyone was like super hyped up, part of me was still like, this is kind of like normal.
I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. A podcast where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. Today, we're speaking with Stephen Carlson, who is a graduate of Princeton University and is now a tight end for the Cleveland Browns. However, Stephen's path to the NFL isn't exactly the ESPN version of draft day. After his first season in the league, including a game-winning touchdown against the Steelers, I'm excited to chat with him today about his first 100 days in the NFL. Well, thanks so much again for chatting with us. How's it going, Gwen?
How's it going, MK? Thanks for having me on the show. Excited to be here.
How is quarantine going in terms of needing to stay athletically fit? Because I know it's hard for all of us who are stuck inside, but I'm sure it's a little bit difficult when it's your job to also stay athletically fit.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I think the Cleveland Browns organization and the NFL as a whole are kind of doing a good job and trying to take care of us and trying to make sure that we have everything we need. And if we don't have certain equipment, our strength staff is writing up workouts, like body weight workouts, band workouts. They're sending us equipment here, there, and like vitamins. And it's pretty normal, other than the fact that we're just not physically there. So it's a little harder to stay motivated, a little harder to not just sit on my butt all day and blow off some responsibilities. But I think that's just one of the challenges of being in the NFL and just like pretty much the world right now. I think a lot of people are going through a similar thing. So I know it's not just specific to us. I just got to keep pressing forward till the day comes when we can get back to normal.
I'm really interested to hear about your path into the NFL because it goes without saying that Princeton is an amazing school. It's just not known to be the college football program like the Notre Dames and the Ohio States that send athletes into the NFL. So did you enter Princeton with the goal of NFL in mind?
Yeah, definitely. Like growing up, I think kind of like all kids, I had like a dream of going to the NFL, but I didn't think it was like super realistic. Which is kind of one of the things maybe I'll talk about later that I feel like a lot of high schoolers or even college kids think the NFL is so far out there, which you definitely have to be talented and have the body type and the skills. But I think like with hard work and just some of the intangible stuff, it's a lot more realistic than some people think. In high school, like I wouldn't say it was my number one goal, honestly. When I first started talking with Princeton about going there to play football, yeah, it'll be a good football team, but you can't really deny that it's one of the best academic institutions in the world. So it'd be hard to look at going somewhere else that's maybe better at football when you have this amazing opportunity in front of you. So I definitely came to Princeton wanting to play at a high level on the field, but I also wanted to get a good education, and that was important to me and my family. And my freshman, sophomore year, I wasn't thinking about the NFL at all, honestly. I didn't even, my freshman year, I think I had one catch. My sophomore year, I also had one catch. Wasn't really a contributor on the team at all. Did everything I had to do, but just had some guys in front of me that were older and better at the time, honestly. My junior year, that summer before my junior year, I really got after it with some guys that we were staying with over the summer, working out every day at school with the strength staff. And my junior year, I think I had like 75 catches or 72 catches, something like that. So dramatic jump. And after that junior season, something that I think our head coach, Coach Bob Cerace, and some of the other coaches had mentioned to me, you know, like, hey, you're a big guy. You have the quickness, you have the coordination to maybe play at the next level. You know, you got to make another big jump going into senior year. So I was going at it all summer, working hard, doing whatever I could, and had another great season my senior year. I don't know what, if there was one specific thing that was like, oh, led me to say, oh, I really want to go to the NFL. But I think just the fact that we went undefeated that season, 10-0. Unfortunately, we can't play in the playoffs or anything like that. But we went 10-0. We had some really good guys. We crushed some teams. We had some good stats. And my coaches were telling me, hey, like, this is pretty realistic that you could have a shot at the NFL. And I had some agents calling me. And pretty much right after the season, I had to make a decision whether I wanted to try to go for it, if I thought I would really have a shot, or if I just kind of wanted to say, hey, like, football did me well, but I want to go another route. I think I would have had a little more exposure going to a bigger school, like your alma mater, Notre Dame, or anything like that.
Yeah, Guy Rish.
Those are obviously tremendous. There's some of those big schools, are, like Notre Dame, are obviously tremendous academic institutions, too. But I think Princeton kind of provided me with everything I needed to be successful, whether I wanted to go to the NFL or whether I wanted to. I would never want to work a corporate job, really, like in New York City, but anything really I wanted to do. definitely the option. I think back to your original question. When I first came to Princeton, my end goal wasn't to go to the NFL. It was just kind of, as I progressed through my years, it was something that became more and more realistic, and then eventually something I couldn't really deny. Just the fact that it was so close and so obtainable after that senior season, I had to just go for it. And if I wouldn't have made it, then I think I would have been fine with myself. But it worked out well.
So what does go for it mean? You said you had agents calling you and your coach sat you down. What did the process look like from, okay, maybe this is something I go for, to, okay, I'm on an NFL team?
Yeah. It's a lot, definitely. I think the first step was just, I had to mentally decide, okay, I'm giving my all to try to make it to the NFL. So once I did that, I think the first, actually, I don't think I signed with an agent right away, but I only had maybe two guys reaching out to me saying that they wanted to represent me. And I'm lucky with the fact that I chose Shane Costa, who's an agent from the Buffalo, New York area, which is kind of where I grew up and played some sports. And I think he knew me from high school and kind of knew who I was. And he was one of the main guys that reached out and came to Princeton a few times just to talk. And I was a little nervous because, like I was saying, I didn't have many people reaching out to me. And I wasn't exactly sure how big or established of an agent Shane was. And it was kind of, I felt like it was an awkward question to ask, like, during their time, even though it was probably an essential question. But I wasn't going to just, like, ask him, like, hey, are you, like, a good, like, I don't know. It was just tough.
Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. Fast forward, everything worked out with Shane. He's a great guy and a great agent, one of my good friends, and he's done tremendous things for me. But as I had these agents reaching out to me, I decided that I was going to go for it. So then I nailed down a plan with the strength coaches at Princeton and a couple other my buddies who were also trying to make it. There was a debate of whether I should go and train at like a performance center and pay like maybe a couple $1,000s to have some coaches train me and prep me for pro days, which I'll get to in a sec. But I honestly felt more comfortable just staying at Princeton and working out there. I was confident in the strength coaches there. I had Coach Mike Tufo and the staff there really helped me out, and I wasn't paying anything. They didn't have to do anything for me, but they really set me up for success, and they gave everything they had for me, which I really appreciate. And we ended our season like November, I think. So I started right like December all the way through. I think early April was our pro day, which the pro day is like the NFL combine. So the NFL combine is for like the highest recruits, like the people are probably going to get drafted in the first couple rounds. The biggest names of football, they go to a combine in Indianapolis, and there's hundreds of scouts, and then every team's coach and GM is there watching in the stadium as the guys go through some drills. They test their measurables, like the 40-yard dash for speed, the vertical jump. A pro day is the equivalent of that for people who didn't get invited. So we had four or five Princeton guys at our pro day, and there was probably maybe about 20, 25 scouts from teams there. So that's like what all the training is for, because if you, it's kind of sad, but it's just the way it is. If you have a bad day in your pro day and run a little slower than you usually are, or certain positions have certain times that they have to run the 40-yard dash in, and if players don't do that, they're kind of just like forgotten about to a certain extent. So that's like a really important day in the process. And I think all of us had good pro days. We set ourselves up pretty well for what was going to come in the next couple of weeks, which after the pro day is the draft.
And are there multiple rounds of the draft that just aren't televised? And is that the only way you can make the teams?
Yeah. So I think it's always the first round is on Thursday. So every team has like probably about 10 minutes to like make their choice of who they want to draft. And so Saturday and Sunday is like through the seventh round. So there's seven rounds. Basically, the two avenues of getting on a team are getting drafted by the team or signing as an undrafted free agent. Basically, after our pro day, after my pro day, I was talking with some teams. Teams were calling my phone. My agent was talking with teams. And a lot of them were kind of, you know, just getting like some general information. But some of them wanted to come to Princeton and watch me and the other guys work out. Either scouts or coaches from certain teams would fly over to Princeton and put us through a workout and see if they liked us or not. And they wouldn't really say much, like they'd be all be friendly and whatever, but they wouldn't say like, hey, we're going to draft you or we want to pick you up or anything like that. So when the draft came, it was kind of a mystery. I think I was confident I was going to get signed by somebody. I was pretty positive I wasn't going to get drafted, although it was a possibility maybe like in a late round. So I knew for me, I was just going to have to wait until, misspoke earlier, Saturday is the last day of the draft. So the seventh round will end on Saturday. So I knew I had to wait till then. And after the draft, hopefully teams would be calling me or calling my agent. Pretty much how it worked out with the Browns. I had a few teams going in that said, hey, they like me, or they think it's a possibility they might draft me, or if not, they definitely want to pick me up after. But when it came down to it, I really honestly only had like the Browns call me after, and my agent kind of worked it out. He would call me and say, hey, like this guy from the Browns is going to call you in a sec. We're like trying to work out a deal. So I signed with the Browns before the draft was even over, because they didn't have a pick in the seventh round. So after, I remember my agent saying like, hey, if Cleveland doesn't take a tight end with their last pick in the sixth round, they're going to sign you. So I was pretty excited when they didn't take a tight end there. And before the draft is even over, I had already signed with the Browns.
So does that mean that you're automatically rostered on the team, even though you haven't been drafted, but you are officially signed onto the Browns?
Yeah, it's like a tough place to, not a tough place. It's a good place to be, but teams leading into training camp, teams will sign 90 guys. So there'll be 90 guys on the roster going into training camp. So that was like, I was one of those 90 guys once I got signed. But by the end of training camp, there'll only be 53 guys plus 10 on the practice squad. So even though you're signed, you're not really like on the team until you make the team after training camp. The next step after I got signed as an undrafted free agent was a thing called rookie mini camp, which is like a 3-day meetings and practice session for just rookies. And they teach you, they install some of the playbook and put you on the field a couple hours after they install the playbook and see how well you know the playbook, see how well you're doing against other rookies. And I think that was kind of a defining moment for me, just because I was like so nervous going into rookie minicamp, more nervous than I'd ever been in my entire life, just mostly because what we were talking about earlier, Princeton isn't one of those big schools that gets like so much exposure and has played against a lot of NFL caliber guys and pretty much like knows what to expect. I was coming in as a really small school guy, not having played against, I think I played with Seth the Valve, who was my teammate, who was in the NFL at the time. And I'm not even sure. There's only a handful of guys from the Ivy League in the NFL. So I was really nervous as to whether my ability would be good enough, honestly, just at that moment, at that rookie minicamp. Pretty much as soon as I got on the field and I made some plays, I felt like I was as good, if not better, than most people on the field, honestly. And so that gave me like some good satisfaction, not satisfaction, just like confidence in myself, knowing, hey, like, I might have come from a small school, but I'm just as good as any of these guys. Like, I could have played at some of the big schools that they did. And that, like, before that camp, I was like, I'm not sure if I'll make it. Like, we'll see what happens. But after that camp, I was pretty confident that I was going to be able to make it through training camp and sign with the team.
And all the while, are you still technically at Princeton, or is this after graduation?
Yeah. So that rookie minicamp is before we graduate. So I was still at Princeton. And then, so after the rookie minicamp, I think we'll have like, we had like maybe a couple weeks, a week or two off before OTAs started, which is like the off-season training program, basically. They're called OTAs. OTAs for rookies is just 4 weeks of basically that rookie minicamp, just spread out over 4 weeks. So we're learning the offense and we're practicing Tuesday through Thursday for those 4 weeks. Big time for development and kind of proving yourself to a certain extent, although it's not what training camp's going to be. At the start of the fourth week of OTAs, we had graduation at Princeton. So basically all through OTAs, we were in our reading period. I remember I was in Cleveland at this point, though, so I remember I had to write a few essays in the hotel room I was staying at for my finals, and I had to go to a university, Baldwin Wallace University, which is right next to our facility in Berea, Ohio, which is where we go every day. A professor there proctored an in-class exam I had. There was another day where I had to miss a practice and like go upstairs in the Browns facility and defend my thesis with some of my professors. So it was kind of an interesting time, like still finishing school, but also trying to start my next career. And it was funny, like a lot of the guys in the locker room were like giving me crap for being like a smart guy at Princeton, even though I never really consider myself to be like an amazingly smart guy.
Yeah, but that's all relative. You're still at Princeton, so you're good. But
people just like automatically assume I'm like a nerd just from going to Princeton, which is funny. But I missed another couple days when I came back to Princeton for graduation. And the whole front office and coaching staff like really wanted me to go to Princeton and miss whatever I had to be at the graduation and stuff. So that was good. I was happy that they allowed me to do that. And I felt like a little bit bad missing some stuff, but I didn't miss a lot, and I felt like it was a pretty big milestone in my life, so I wanted to be at Princeton for it.
So did it feel kind of like a slow roll into your professional career, just with all these different training camps and practice squads, or did it feel like all of a sudden you had just stepped into a different universe?
It's a little of both. I was thinking, like, the first 100 days, like, I don't know where I would have considered that to start, whether if it was right when I got signed, like that doesn't really include the start of the season, which I think is like very important. And if I considered the first 100 days to start like during training camp, then I would have left out like all the rookie mini camp and those OTAs, which I think are a big part of just like gaining some confidence, like learning some initial stuff about like what it's like being an NFL player. So I think it's probably more like the first, maybe like 150 or 200 days of NFL that are like crucial. Because once you get signed and go through all that stuff, like you get the training camp, and that's like when you can really either prove yourself that you deserve to be on the team, or the coaches in front office will kind of weed you out and decide that you're. So training camp is really like, it's the first time you put pads on. It's the first time you're hitting other people. And that's where you really have to prove yourself. So I would honestly consider training camp to be like the most important part of starting an NFL career. Obviously you need to get signed and be able to be in that position in the first place, but your performance in training camp really kind of dictates the rest of the season.
Hey there. Can I ask for a quick favor? If you like this podcast, would you mind writing a review? It's truly a one-woman show over here. I'm editing, I'm interviewing, I'm scheduling, I'm doing all the things, and it turns out my love language is words of affirmation. So if you've enjoyed this, I'd really appreciate a review. Now let's get back to it. And something that you had touched on before is like, what do you think is a common misconception about this process? Because this wasn't on your radar before, but you don't actually think it's an unattainable goal for a lot of people. So yeah, what do you think is the focus there? And what do you think people fail to understand when it comes to becoming a professional athlete?
It's a little hard to explain, but what I'm kind of trying to get at is like, I don't think, honestly, a majority of the people in the NFL are just like these natural born, like freak athletes who are just like from whenever they start playing sports are just like so much better than everyone and like destined to be in a professional sports league. Like, I think most people are just like guys who are highly motivated, like have a desire to work hard and like a desire to win. And I think it like shows in that the majority of the team throughout the season are guys who are like fighting for their job basically every day. Like, there's so many people on the outside trying to take spots, and it's like a weird dynamic. Like, even on game days, a lot of guys obviously they're playing for the team, but they're playing for themselves just so that they can keep a job. Like, if you have like a bad week of practice or you have like a bad game, you can get cut at the snap of a finger and like not have a job anymore. So I think like most guys, and like my main point, most guys are talented. Yes, you obviously have to have talent and have to have the size to play whatever position you're at. But not everyone is like a, I don't even know who to say. Not everyone's like my teammate Odell Beckham, who's just like one of probably the best athlete I've ever seen in my entire life. Most guys are like me. They maybe didn't have a tremendous college career, but they worked hard and they improved on what they were lacking at a certain point, and continue every day as they're at the facility, continuing to study hard and work hard. And it's always in the back of their mind that, hey, like I could be replaced at any moment, so I just gotta keep working hard. So I think just like, especially for younger kids, like, weird realization now that I'm in the league, talking with some younger kids and how like highly they think of me and like how much they think I've kind of like changed from like being the same kid I was in college and high school. And it's like, I do exactly the same thing that I did in high school and college. Like, I just try to do everything right. Like, I'm working hard and I just like consistently do it every day. And that's like what I think honestly has kind of separated me from other people. It's not that I've like all of a sudden obtained like some magical powers that put me in the NFL. It's like just like consistency since high school that's kind of allowed me to get here.
And then how did it feel to then have that touchdown reception against the Steelers? Because it's got to feel somewhat out of body in a way, right? Like, you didn't think this was something you were going to end up doing, and then to have that winning reception for that game, right? And you've done other things, you are really successful and that you and all that jazz, but at the same time, that's got to feel somewhat crazy.
Yeah, It was definitely, like, I can't deny, it was probably, like, the best experience of my entire life, honestly. But, like, I couldn't keep the smile off my face after it happened. And it was awesome just, like, having everyone from back home and all my friends from college talking to me and reaching out the next couple of days and saying, like, how proud and stuff they were of me. And it was definitely, like, a good culmination of the work I'd put in that entire year. But kind of like back to my point I was getting at before, like, I feel like I had been making catches like that and been capable of doing stuff like that for a while. And it just like took a little time for maybe the team and the coaches or just like everyone to kind of realize that like that's the kind of stuff I can do. That's the player I am. But I just like, even after I caught it and everyone was like super hyped up, a part of me was still like, this is kind of like normal to me. Like, I feel like I've been doing this kind of stuff since college. It's just like now it's at a bigger stage, so more people are noticing, but it's not necessarily anything that I changed to get here. You know, it's like, obviously it's an awesome experience and I will remember it forever, but I feel like I'd been scoring touchdowns in practice and doing that kind of stuff since high school and Princeton days. And that's not to be like arrogant or anything. I'm not trying to come across like I'm the best football player to ever walk the earth. I'm just trying to say like I don't feel like I'm the most talented player ever. I just feel like I've been pretty consistent through high school and I've had people around me keeping me in track, and I just try to do like the right thing all the time, and it'll like that stuff right there will get you pretty far, whether it's in football or whatever job you're in. I think that's just like something that people need to realize, like it's not always talent and skill that are like the biggest factors in achieving goals.
How would you say then it feels to go from season one to season two now? I know that we're in a different time where we're not actually with one another, but in terms of mentality, do you feel a little bit more secure in your position on the team, especially since you aren't new, or do you still feel like you have to work for every opportunity to play?
I still feel like I have to work for everything, honestly, especially this year with the Browns organization. We got like a whole new coaching staff and new general manager and some new guys in the front office. So I feel like I kind of like had proved myself to the guys around me last year. But now it's a little bit of a fresh start and having to prove myself to this coaching staff. And, you know, like the off season is a big opportunity for some, and pretty much after the season ends, you have like a couple months where you don't have any responsibilities at all. And kind of got to make sure you're staying on top of your stuff. And even now, like they can't be with the stuff that's going on now. Like they're not around us every day knowing how hard we're working or whatever. So I feel like I still, once we walk back into the facility, whenever that is, I have to treat it like I'm a rookie again. Even though I do, it's like a little bit of confidence in the back of my mind that, hey, I had a good season last year and people told me like I can stick around in the league. So as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I should be fine. But that's more in the back of my mind. Like what I'm really thinking about every day is I'm pretty nervous every day, just walking to practice and making sure I do what I'm supposed to do and do it to the way the coaches want it to be done. So I do feel like it's definitely a good experience and I learned a lot. It's kind of sad for the rookies coming in this year just because they probably won't get in to the buildings for a while, so like I have a decent advantage over them. So I feel like I'm in a good situation, but I also like I don't feel comfortable, honestly.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I so look forward to just watching any sort of sport on the TV. Like literally anything. But I appreciate you kind of breaking down what this looks like, I know a lot of people just see, especially the first round pick sort of glamour, right? With, you know, new fancy suits and all that jazz. Was there anything that you wish you could tell, you know, younger athletes or anyone who is gunning for a spot but isn't, like we said, in that first draft sort of position? What would be your main advice?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of what I've subtly been hinting at this whole time to those guys who maybe have the dream, or it's really all about the work you put in, you know, like what you put in, you're going to get out. If you have a goal and you're working every day for it and it's always on your mind, it's a lot easier to achieve than if you're saying, hey, I want this, like I want to go to the NFL. But I'm not putting, it's just something out there, but I'm not willing every day to kind of put in the work. And it's really like, as cliche as it sounds, like just having a good attitude every day, like no matter how you feel, you got to come in every day. And whether it's in college, lifting weights or listening to your coaches, or in high school, listening to your parents or whatever, you got to come in with the right attitude. And don't get discouraged if things don't go your way. Like if you don't get into the biggest football program and still get there from small schools like I did. And it's really just, I think that's the thing I've had in my mind all through this since high school, like just work hard every day, as cliche as it sounds.
Cliche is cliche for a reason, so no worries. Well, thank you so much again. Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.